Hello, good people. How are you all doing? It's Friday. I hope you had a great one. And today was specifically special because we had Good Friday, being the most significant Christian season, like Christian holiday, actually, that we get to take time during this time to remember what Christ did on the cross, to remember the pain he went through, the sacrifice he made so that he could have a relationship with us. I hope you really have taken time, you know, besides for some of us just sleeping and resting and enjoying, you know, time away from work, besides you going on that holiday or just having fun, that you're taking time to remember this reason for this season, that Jesus came. Our Father God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to come die on the cross so that you and I could have everlasting life, so that you and I could be reconciled back to our Father, so that the relationship between us and God could be repaired. The relationship between us and God could be repaired. I repeated that bit because, as I mentioned last week, today we're beginning on a new conversation that I'm really excited about because, as I said last week, I believe it's a relevant conversation that needs to be had because so many of my brothers and sisters, so many of our friends are bound in bondage because they can't tell the difference between these two topics we're about to talk about. Yes, we're talking about religion versus relationship. And what better time to kick this off than on a Good Friday? You know, on a day that we are remembering the ultimate sacrifice that has ever been made for the sake of relationship. You know, just because God wanted a relationship with us, he sent his own Son, Jesus Christ, who came on earth, lived here like, you know, like man. He was born of a woman, and he was both God and he was man, and he died for you and I so that the bridge that had been created when Adam sinned could be reconciled, could be bridged so that you and I are reconciled back to God. Yes. So on to the topic of the day. I must say, when I asked you last week to send in questions, comments, and anything really you wanted to talk about in regards to this conversation, I so very much appreciate it because so many of you sent in questions, suggestions, thoughts. And what has been my highlight is just reading the different scenarios where a lot of us in one way or another have been affected by religion and our worldview of what religion is and what relationship with God looks like. So I'm really, really excited that over the next couple of weeks, we're going to answer some of these questions as we continue to talk with one another. Keep your thoughts coming. Like, this is a conversation. I really do want to hear from you because as you learn from me, then I get to learn from you too. So today, as we talk about relationships, a relationship with God and religion, I want to begin by talking about a man that I think bring this up so well in scripture. And it's a man so many of us know because back in Sunday school, if you went to Sunday school like I did, then it's a story we read about. Do you know a guy called Nicodemus? Have you ever heard of a guy called Nicodemus? Because I want us to talk a little about this guy called Nicodemus. If you've never heard this story, it is found in John chapter 3. You know, check out John chapter 3 on your own time. Go through it, understand the story. It is such a profound story, and a lot of our lessons today will come from that story. So I'm going to paraphrase it because I'm not going to read the whole thing. But Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Now, for so many of us, you might be asking, so what's a Pharisee? A Pharisee was a teacher of the law. Like, these guys used to study scriptures and teach them. It was like a profession of theirs. That is what a Pharisee was. They were extremely, extremely religious. Like, they knew every law. And you know how, for most of us, we only know the Ten Commandments that Moses wrote. You know, the 10 is what is highlighted right now. But there were more than 600 laws, and these guys knew each of these laws. And not only did they know them, they would practice them religiously and extremely, you know. So he was among a group of people who used to do that. Other Pharisees who used to do that. They were teachers of the law, and they were people who enforced and ensured that they followed the law. They were the guys who knew all the stories of Torah. You know, Torah was the books of the Bible in the past, like Genesis, all these books. They knew those scriptures, you know, they had studied them fully. They had the knowledge of those scriptures. And then now, Nicodemus has heard of this new teacher, Jesus, in town, who has been performing miracles, and not just performing miracles, but also sometimes he teaches things that almost look like they're contrary to some of what the Pharisees believed. So this new teacher was not very famous in the Pharisee squad. He wasn't like one of those guys that they called their one of their boy. No, they didn't like him because they felt like he was coming to defile that which they held so sacredly, that which they believed was their ticket to heaven. So we're gonna read John chapter 3, just a few verses for you, and so that just to give you context and so that for you to understand, and then we're gonna go on. John chapter 3 verse 1, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with you." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." He asked, "How can someone be born when they are already old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Verily, truly, I tell you that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." I'm going to stop at that point with the scripture, but I just needed to give you context of the story of Nicodemus. So this is a Pharisee, a man who knew the law, a man who had, you know, memorized the Torah, a man who was among the top religious leaders. And he has had this Jesus, and as he's acknowledging in the very first chapter, he says, "You must be from God. Because, you know, there's something exceptional about it. It's like the miracles. You must be from God. Although my peers don't really like you, although my peers, you know, do not agree with you," he's saying, "I really do think that you're from God." What surprises me about Nicodemus is, even though he knew that this was a teacher from God, even though he was convicted, he was too afraid of what everyone else would think. He was too afraid of what people would think of him, you know, how the society would perceive him, how he would be judged, that he actually came to see Jesus in the dark. Like, he chilled until nobody could see him, and then he was like, he slipped in there to see him. And it just disturbs me how, like, Nicodemus we are as a community. That a lot of time we are too afraid of what everybody else will think. We are too afraid of what, you know, the society will think. You know, there's this thing in the Christian communities called perception. You know, what will people think of you? How will they view you moving forward? And you're a pastor. Oh my God. How can you be seen with that person? Like, they do not represent the same things we represent. You can't be hanging out with that girl. Oh my God, do you know that she used to drink so much? Do you know she has such a terrible reputation? You can't hang out with her because this is not allowed, because it will ruin your name. You know, there is all these becauses we have that have bound us instead of us of freeing us. Instead of us getting closer to God, these things, these religious practices that we have continue to bind us, just like Nicodemus. And it is sad. It is very sad. Let me tell you a little story about myself. I grew up a church girl. Like, from a very young age, I was a church girl. Now, I am the only girl in my family. I have three brothers. One of the things that happens when you're born in a family where there's like three boys, you tend to have some tomboy tendencies. Like, I enjoyed like wearing trousers, shorts, t-shirts. You know, the games I would play were not the girly games. I would be hanging out with the boys and everything. And I'd find that I gravitate easily. And up to now, actually, I gravitate towards men easily in terms of we form relationship fast. I know how to relate with them better than with the other gender. And it's not because I don't like the other gender. It's just because I grew up with boys. I understand them. And I just feel like it's easier with them. However, now, I belong to this Christian community that being seen with a boy was considered one of the biggest sins. Okay? So, because I really wanted to please God, and because, you know, I had gone to Sunday school, I had learned about hell and heaven, and there was no way I was going to burn. If you remember back in the day, the gospel was being taught about heaven and hell, which is a true reality. I mean, there is heaven, there is earth, and truly, if we don't give our life to Christ, we will face hell in the future. So that's a reality. But I was so afraid of hell that, you know, I got born again. But now, in this journey of Christianity, I kept feeling like, you know, God is like a policeman who is constantly looking out to see what sin has Lillian done today. It's like he's gone every day. He wakes up and he's like, okay, she woke up. Did she tell a lie somewhere? Did she steal something? Did she take sugar from the kitchen? It's like any God is just waiting to see if I have committed a sin. And without knowing, I grew up without as a perception of who God is. The Christian community around me did not even help, because in the church there were all these rules and regulations. And I grew up knowing that these rules and regulation were actually rules and regulation that God really did require if I was gonna have a relationship with him. And I hated it because it was so hard. I was like, I can't be seen hanging out with a boy peacefully without being accused. And for many occasions, I remember being talked about of being overlooked, you know, or even other girls being warned and being told, you can't hang out with that girl. She does not represent the right Christian character of a girl. She hangs out with boys. She likes wearing shorts. She cuts her hair. She has side cuts. And I hated it. And for a long time, I did things religiously. Like, I went to church. I tried to be good. I tried to do all the right things because I thought that was what was being required of me to have a relationship with God. Yani, sigh moment. Like a moment of silence to all of us who've done absolutely ridiculous things in the name of religion. Hats off if you're there. I know you're there.